Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Katie Schramm, and I was asked to share about peace, which this morning then my printer wasn't working for a while. So I was not at peace before church, I'm just saying. But we're going to try to make this work anyway. Peace can be a fickle state for someone who struggles with anxiety. I often find myself not at peace because I have this little problem of giving up control. I'm fairly certain I'm not alone in my quandary. Can I have peace while I'm anxious? Have I ever truly felt peace? I feel like every time I try to answer this question, the examples seem short-lived and random, but they are important and they are significant. Remembering them will help me recognize them in the future. I guess I finally learned that after almost 40 years. When I looked up the definition of peace in Webster's dictionary, because I have a relationship with Google, peace is the state of tranquility or quiet. It is the freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, harmony in personal relations, a state or period of mutual concord between governments. Sigh. It is used interjectionally to ask for silence or calm or as a greeting or farewell. Personally, I have experienced what I understand as peace in a few descriptive times in my life. I grew up in the Puget Sound in Washington State, and my grandparents lived on Whidbey Island. That's where my parents grew up. And each time that we would go to or from Whidbey Island to see them, we would pass over this group of bridges over Deception Pass. This place has tumultuous water that churns underneath the bridges. It's not passable by boat, like kayaks or canoes. You have to have a high-powered motor to go through the pass. But that smell of the salty sea air, the sound of the waves crashing, the feel of the cold breeze across my face and whipping my hair around, this place touches all of my senses at the same time, and it's very peaceful for me. And now every time I go to any of the coasts and I smell that salty sea air, I'm brought back to that place of my childhood. Another example is when I would nurse my babies in the wee hours of the morning, which I was also extremely exhausted, and I know most of you can relate to that. But those times were so sweet. I spent those times staring at my precious baby, smelling their smell, listening to their little noises, feeling their warm, soft skin, and it was so quiet outside. I felt like we were the only two people in the world, and nothing else mattered, even in our broken world. Walking outside on a winter's evening with the snow quietly falling around me, having dinner with friends and having conversation, snuggling with my family on the couch during a movie, singing my favorite hymns, which Sean, he picked a good one. And ironically, catching a whiff of my grandmother's house when I walk in my own house here in Goshen. I don't know if any of you experienced that, where all of a sudden you smell something of your past. Those kinds of things bring peace. I currently work as a nurse practitioner at Maple City Healthcare Center. When I tell people where I work, I am immediately reminded that I work at Disneyland. It's a wonderful place with wonderful people. I know, just kidding. It really is a wonderful place, and there are wonderful people. But what many people don't see is the anxiety, the pain, the struggles that we are helping other people navigate. We deal with so much more than medicine. I often go home and go through a mental list of what I saw, what I heard, what I did, and then it is followed with a list of things that I didn't do, or what I need to follow up on, or just asking, what did I miss? At my wonderful job, I take on a lot of responsibility for other people. I feel responsible if they're not feeling better, if their blood pressure or diabetes is still not under control, if their depression seems resistant to the medication that were used for treatment. I feel helpless when patients don't take responsibility for their own health, and then they keep asking me what's wrong with them. I throw my hands up in the air in resignation. I can't help it. But then I take a step back, and I reflect, and I listen. And what I hear and what I see is fear. And then I reflect on my own anxiety, my own self-loathing, my own fears, and my own failures at taking my health into my hands. When I'm anxious or worried, I'm not at peace. I become moody. I snap at people around me. I start feeling very tired. I have a hard time completing tasks, and often my own body feels like it's being held down by weights. I get it. The opposite of peace includes a lot of fear. When I'm helping others at Maple City, sometimes during their darkest moments, I try to help them regain some sense of peace in their lives. I have many patients who struggle with anxiety, like myself, but theirs is about work, about family, about immigration status, about their chronic health problems. How do I help them find peace? Well, I've worked there for 2 years, and one thing that I have learned is that I stop trying to take responsibility on my own. It's not mine alone to bear. I work with a team that includes other nurse practitioners, physicians, therapists, a psychiatrist, an addictions counselor, numerous medical assistants with all kinds of experience, a social worker, navigators who help with all sorts of financial issues. Why am I trying to fix all of this by myself? It is truly amazing to see how when we do help our patients navigate some of those things that are impossible for them, so many of their other physical symptoms resolve. They have a new sense of well-being. They walk straighter. Their heads are held high. They leave smiling, sometimes through happy tears. They are experiencing that peace. Thinking bigger, especially in our current state of political unrest, I think, how do we accomplish peace on a larger scale? Small examples of peace experienced by many people can possibly lead to a whole lot of cool, like awesomeness. And I often think of our model at Maple City of how this begins. Some of our patients have become more active in our community. They have encouraged their neighbors to come out of their houses, convincing them that Goshen is a safe place for them and their families. Trust is still a fragile thing because of the barriers that exist, but these barriers are starting to come down. They are being broken by those who have a renewed sense of peace and trust in our community. And I believe Maple City Healthcare Center has played a big role in this, among other businesses in Goshen. So where do we go with this? Overall, it is the responsibility of all of us to encourage peace and help pick each other up when we're struggling. There's really no way to exist in full peace at any one given time, but to relish on focusing on those moments of peace is important. And when I think of peace, I can't help thinking of the rest of the fruits of the Spirit and how they cannot exist independently. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. To experience one, we experience them all. If we love one another, if we have joy, if we can practice patience, if we can be kind to one another, if our intentions are good, if we show gentleness, if we can control some of those dark thoughts that creep up, then we can experience and practice peace.
Good morning. I'm Donna Shank-Sensenig, and I teach third grade at West Goshen Elementary. And I'll talk this morning about my experience as a teacher, but I want to acknowledge that other educators could tell very similar stories. But this is mine from this past year. As a classroom teacher in a public school, my class each year consists of a cross-section of the Goshen community. which at West Goshen includes a student body where 74% qualify for free and reduced lunch, creating a socioeconomic diversity. In addition to this diversity, my third grade class this past year consisted of ethnic diversity, 1 African American, 7 Caucasians, and 15 Latino students. The family makeup of these students was varied as well. Some came from two-parent families, most from single-parent families, some from mixed joined families, and one student came from a two-parent family, but his mother lived in Goshen, and his father lives in Mexico, having been deported several times. This diversity brought beauty, but it also brought a challenge of how to get along amidst differences, something that we see today all around us. The educational expectation is that in 180 days, these students will learn the academic content as prescribed by the state of Indiana. But I venture to say the greater learning took place in learning to work together as a classroom community for those 180 days. And this is what gives me hope for the broader Goshen community. The first part of my year was difficult. Within the first weeks of school, racial slurs had been passed between some students. The classroom culture was stabbed with disrespect and defiance, and strong personalities bumped up against or egged on other strong personalities. Some students became uncomfortable and withdrawn in the presence of other classmates, and it was obvious that our class promise that we had created and signed together at the beginning of the year, stating how we wanted our classroom community to work, wasn't being adhered to, and that the learning to build that community was as relevant as the academics, if not more so. As an IB school, one of the focuses at West Goshen lies in what are called the IB learner profiles, which are those characteristics that make up lifelong learners, global citizens. So we, as a third grade class, spent time each morning reviewing these profiles, defining them, giving examples of what it means to be caring, reflective, knowledgeable, balanced, open-minded, to name a few. And we worked to recognize when our classmates were modeling those profiles. And I'd like to say that in no time our community was running like clockwork, but it took more time, more patience, and more tolerance than that. However, we ever so slowly began to recognize our differences, to see what strengths each student brought, and to understand the difference between equal and fair, and to acknowledge that we each hold fast to certain ideas, and while they may not be all the same, they are all valuable. At Christmas, when I was asked by one student why I didn't decorate the classroom like so many other teachers did, I explained that not all students in our class celebrate Christmas. The response was lovely, just a simple, "Oh, okay." And on my birthday in January, the class sang me the traditional happy birthday song. Then one student, who would not have spoken up earlier in the year, asked if they could sing to me in Spanish too. I was thrilled, and the enthusiasm with which they proceeded to sing was beautiful, and those who weren't Spanish speakers joined in as well. No one was opting out. We were beginning to form that community, full of differences, but willing to risk sharing those differences and the potential for growth. Our community circle time, where the students shared the happenings in their life, was going from being almost non-existent at the start of the year to being more focused and more real. After the February flood, we took time one morning to share how we were or weren't affected, and students respectfully listened to each other and responded to each other. And when I thought we were through sharing, one student asked, "Well, what about you, Mrs. Shank? How were you affected?" Yes, I too was included in this community. And finally, in the spring, we were invited as a third grade to participate in swimming instruction at the middle school. Each day, the students would meet with instructors in small groups to receive lessons based on their levels. On the first day, one of my students sat on a step and refused to go into the water. Water had previously not been a good experience for him. He told me he had drowned before. But at the start of the year, I realized this would have led to laughter and some teasing. But on day 2 of instruction this spring, with the encouragement of his classmates, he got into the pool. And this led to cheers and applause and high fives from the rest of my students. And that was the day I realized that, we had made it. As a teacher, each year I'm given a group of students that represent a cross-section of our community. It's expected that in 180 days, these students will learn the academic content as prescribed by the state of Indiana. But those 180 days are so much more. They are filled with trials and trust, and with real conversations about who we are and the realities that each of us experience. They are filled with tolerance and growth, and together we work to build our own community, and in doing so, we build hope for the broader Goshen community. Could I ask for more? So all you educators out there, here's to a new year.